Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1, because otherwise it wouldn't be called Top 5. This week, man, things we are burned out on.
Making up opens for Top 5, we may be burned out on that.
No, never. I love making out with Top 5. I will point out, though, that this Top 5 is not the same as the Top 5 things that stuck around too long.
Right.
This is the Top 5 things that we are burned out on. Things that we're totally done with, things that we're no longer interested in, things that have annoyed us to the point where we don't even care anymore.
Where we're
My number 5 is one that I know a lot of listeners have asked me about. And it's the Lego videos that I was doing for, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
On the Major Spoilers YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. So if you haven't checked us out over there, go do it. I was doing Lego videos all the time, and it was eating up a huge chunk of my weekend. Like, I would spend all day Saturday building and shooting the build and the models and all of that kind of stuff. Then I had to spend Sunday shooting the stand-up stuff. The review and my thoughts and everything, and then spend Sunday afternoon editing the thing so it could get up Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening or Monday morning or whatever it was. And it just got to the point where, it was not fun anymore. Uh-huh. And certainly one of the big problems is you're always trying to chase, the new Lego sets that are out so you can get them up, and you want to make sure that they're relevant for the viewers and everything. And of course, most of the ones that we covered were, comic book related, the DC Marvel superheroes and the Star Wars and some of those other ones.
Right.
But it also got to be a huge money drain, because I don't know if you've looked at the cost of Lego sets in the last couple of years, but I mean, they ain't cheap.
No.
I mean, you can go out and get a brand new set from the upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp. Hello, past people who are listening, or future people. Ant-Man and the Wasp has probably already been long gone out of the theaters by the time you hear this. I mean, that's like a $30 set for like 25 pieces or something like that. And it just got to be too much of a drain that way. It didn't become fun. And quite frankly, when it came up to the Black Panther time and the Avengers Infinity War thing, I was just kind of burnt out and said, you know what? I don't find this fun anymore. And I can tell you when I got burned out on this. It was during the whole Batman, the Lego movie, when they just unleashed set after set after set. To the point it was just like, well, I don't like doing these Batman sets anymore. It's this no fun doing the same thing again and again and again. And had I not had to do like 50 of those Batman Lego movies things, I probably wouldn't have been as burned out on it. But man, when it came time to do the, I think there's like 10 sets that I have sitting there, maybe more, about 15 sets that are sitting out in the room next door that are just waiting to be built. And I have no interest or desire to do that at this time. So maybe in a while when I get recharged and rejuvenated, maybe I will come back to Lego videos. But right now, they are definitely on my top 5 things that I am burnt out on. Matthew, what do you have for number 5?
My number 5 actually came about as part of my recent, what's the word that I'm looking for? Old person illnesses, and I joke about this, I do, because I am the healthiest old fat person that I know, in that the things that keep popping up and bugging me, yes, they bug me for long periods of time. I had like a sinus infection for 3 months earlier this year. But a few years ago, I started having big digestive issues in terms of just my stomach would go, I do not like this, and I would be burping, and it would be terrible, it would be hateful. And I discovered that I had to give up a few things. I gave up several things entirely, and one of the things that I gave up was soda pops. What I refer to as sodas, depending on where you are in the country, it may be a pop, it may be a Coke, it may be a soft drink. But I gave up the soda pops, and I used to drink a 1 liter of Mountain Dew every day at work.
Oh, my
that
God.
That used to be my thing. Yeah. Well, it was Diet Mountain Dew, so.
Oh, well, Diet Mountain Dew. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Much better.
It's okay,
it's got
then.
That extra formaldehyde in it. It's got the preservatives and things. My liver was the shiniest thing in the world. But in giving up the soda pop, I, started drinking more tea and more lemonade and drinking other things. And I occasionally do try soda pop again. And I'm I have no desire most of the time to have a soda pop. Occasionally, I will really crave a root beer float, but I don't miss sodas.
How is that being burned out on something?
I have burned out on it. I no longer want it. I'm done with it. I'm just like, when I go into a restaurant and I sit down and they're like, you want Pepsi or Coke? I'm like, neither, thank you. You have that moment where you're like, I don't even own a TV. So you get that. But I'm done with the soda pop. And granted, I didn't necessarily initially decide to stop with the soda pop. But every time I think maybe I should have a soda pop, I'm like, no, that's over. That's done with. I am content never to have another soda pop as long as I live. Again, with the occasion of the moment where I'm like, I need root beer. And they make popsicles for that, apparently.
Cool. Neat.
Yeah. That's neat. My number five.
All right. My number four.
Even kind of shot it down in the middle there out of cruelty.
Well, I was
okay.
Just trying to figure out, you know, the different, you know, to me, being burned out on something is just like, I'm done with this. I've had enough. I'm fed up. I can't deal with this anymore. As opposed to, well, you know, medically, I should probably stop drinking soda because it's not good for me. That's, to me, is a lot different than being burned out on something.
After 14 years on the website, I don't have that anymore to go, I'm just done with the fart up now.
Well, this should be interesting then, because top five is things we are burned out on. And my number four, I got to be quite honest with you. I am burned out on Twitter. I know people think that Twitter is like the most important thing that's out there. It's the best way to communicate with your fans and your community. And believe me, I love communicating with community. I love communicating with our listeners and having conversations with our listeners. But man, Twitter has become like the only way people want to communicate anymore. And I really don't need that. I mean, there are some brilliant people on there. I follow Seth, what's his name? Abramson, I believe is his name. He goes off on these long, intricate, detailed analyses of things that are going on in Washington.
Yep.
And he threads them. And sometimes they are 200 or 300 tweets long. And at that point, it's like, my God, man, just say, here's a link to the full article over on my blog and be done with it. People are mistaking Twitter for a website, and Twitter is not a website. Twitter is not meant to be the home for your long-winded conversation that is 14 pages in length. And I think Twitter also has a big tie with my number one item that I'm burned out on. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But for right now, Twitter, come on, Twitter. Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
See,
Matthew, what do you have for your number four?
I like Twitter, and the Twitter is like single servings of stupid, in that a lot of times when you're on the internet, you get a lot of stupid, and Twitter is like a Keurig cup of stupid.
But the problem with a Keurig, though, is the Keurig is this little small thing that creates something large and big. And I don't need that. I don't need, you know, I'm fine with a little tweet that says, hey, check out this new cosplay video that I did. Or, hey, here's a story about this upcoming movie that's coming out. Or, hey, everybody, I just had a car accident. Don't worry. I'm fine. I'm fine with those kind of tweets. But seriously, if you're going to go into a threaded tweet that's longer than 10, you need to rethink how you're using Twitter.
Yeah. Thanks for that 10.
Yeah, longer than 10.
See, I do 10, but not longer. Just 10.
Oh, you actually do, because every one has a second one attached to it.
That is not true. That is a lie, especially with the advent of 280. However, I do have, you know, an opening statement, so usually it's 12 or 13.
Uh-huh.
But not in any way germane to my number four. My number four comes from our shared past. And if you've listened to this show, and if you haven't, welcome. Hi, how's it going? If you have, you know that Steven and I have a background in radio. And actually, at different points in our life, we worked at the same kind of a weird oldies rock kind of AOR, middle-of-the-road weird station.
Not at the same time, though, I don't think.
That's what I said. Not at the same time, but the same station. I believe that you were gone by the time I got there, and I lasted longer than you, but that's neither here nor there either.
I don't know. I was there 6 years.
Yeah, and I was there 7. So, haha.
I was there 8. That's what it was, 8 years.
You were not there 8. Now you're just doing it on purpose. But because of that, I spent a lot of time listening to a lot of music that I didn't have any interest in. And it actually played music that I did like. And it turned some of that music into things that I don't like anymore. Songs like Sweet Child of Mine, nope, done, can't, not even. And there's a couple of songs, even by really, really wonderful bands. There's a couple of Beatles songs that I'm just done with. But my number 4 that I have burned out on, that I have no interest in ever hearing again, and there are going to be people mad at me for this, and I'll cop to it. I am done with the Rolling Stones, especially Start Me Up. Because for some reason, Start Me Up played...
Not Sympathy for the Devil?
See, Sympathy for the Devil is one of the ones that I could still listen to if I had to, if I was like out of Pandora skips, or the radio signal was bad and that was all I got, or I didn't really notice until the woo-woo started. But man, they're just, to me, there isn't any enjoyment left in the Rolling Stones.
Brown Sugar?
Brown Sugar? No. I mean, Angie? No. Again, there are 3 or 4 Stone songs that I will listen to, that I am capable of listening to, but I can't think of one that I would choose to listen to. And that's weird, because at one point I really enjoyed the Stones, and now I'd rather listen to, you know, David Bowie or Supertramp. You remember Supertramp?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can get me some Yes. Give me some Yes or some Monkees.
What about Yaz?
Yaz, I don't know Yaz. Wasn't Yaz a member of the Justice League in 1994? Maybe. I think you're right. But I'm done. I'm done with the Rolling Stones. Now, don't get me wrong. I do enjoy Mick Jagger being 70 and commenting on all of his son's Instagram posts. And not just commenting, but doing, you know, weird out-of-touch dad posts. Because his son will post like, hey, I'm at a party. And Mick will be like, looks like fun. I love that.
Yeah, both of my mothers, my mother and my mother-in-law, are both like that.
Yep.
And at times it's both that. Funny, you know, like roll your eyes, oh mom. And other times it's just infuriating, but.
Yeah. And you know what's great about it?
What?
This is a man who sang What a Drag It Is Getting Old. And it doesn't seem like a drag to me. It seems like a lot of fun. To be Mick Jagger on Instagram.
Well, I don't think so. There's a lot of people that, and I kind of put myself into this category where they don't age mentally. And I don't mean that in a bad derogatory term. It means that if you were to ask me right now, Stephen, how old do you feel? I would say I'm mid-30s at most. And in reality, it's much older than that. And everybody, I think Mick Jagger is the same way. And I think there's a lot of people who are the same way, that it's like, you know, Mick Jagger's like, I'm 82 years old and I still feel like a 25-year-old. And, you know, and that's, I think that's perfectly, I think that's cool. I think people that can get past the I'm old and so everything is old and blah, blah, blah. I think that's so much, you know, I think going, well, you know, I feel 35. And if that's the way I feel, then that's how old I feel. I think that's so much better than people constantly going, oh, you're old and you're old and you should do old people things. I don't cotton to that. And so I think Mick Jagger doing that to his kids, is actually quite funny. It is quite fun.
I spend my days locked in a room with people who are 60 and 70 years old. And I can tell you that nobody feels their age. A 73-year-old woman today was yelling and yelling and yelling about how she couldn't get her Twitter to reload and all of this stuff. And I'm just like, man, just calm down. We'll take care of it. It'll be fine. But yeah, in any case, once again, I think we digressed a little bit from the fact that my number 4, I'm sick of the Rolling Stones. I'm really sick of Start Me Up. You can take Start Me Up. Yeah. You can roll it down a hill and light it on fire.
Like a Rolling Stone?
Like a Rolling Stone. Well, that's Bob Dylan, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Back at computer.
My number 3 is something that you only experience if you are on the open plains of the middle part of the United States.
So it's an endless ennui?
It's what?
an endless ennui?
No.
A hatred of guys named Junior?
Here's the thing. When you live in a big city, or you live in a place that has trees, a lot of the wind is broken up. Now, granted, I know in some big cities, the wind will come whipping around through the concrete canyons and blow up a terrific wind every once in a while. But in western Kansas, a light breeze day is like 20 miles per hour wind. And it's constant. And if it's not a light breeze day at 20 miles per hour, I know some people are like, well, that's not what I would call a light breeze. Welcome to the Plains region. And then there are other days where it's like 50 and 60 miles per hour just hitting you all day long. And Matthew has told tales of when he was living here, how his wife would go crazy from the excessive wind that blows.
And our house was poorly sealed and it would whistle at her all night
When I moved back here, I was like, it's a windy day. It's not that big of a deal. But like 15 years later, I am so sick of the wind all the time. It's like, I would like a nice gentle breeze. So you either have no wind or you have 20 mile per hour wind. And most days it's 20 miles per hour. I'd say 90% of the days it's, 75% of the days it's 20 miles per hour. 15% of the days it's 50 miles per hour. And then the rest of the days are like maybe 5 mile per hour winds. I like those days where it's nice and calm, but I'm getting so tired of just wind all the time. I'm so burnt out on it. I know in other parts of the country, people get burned out on other kind of weather conditions. Like maybe up in the Pacific Northwest, you get burned out on rain and clouds. Mm-hmm. But here in the Plains region, man, it is the excessive wind. And you hear tales. Now, this is the tales of the pioneer days when people were moving out into the Plains region. And by the Plains region, I'm not talking, we're talking about stuff west of Salina. And you can kind of draw a diagonal line down through Texas and down into right at the end of the Gulf. And then from about right before the mountains start, the Rocky Mountains start, and then just kind of draw a diagonal line kind of following the Rocky Mountains up. That Plains region is the wind just comes up all the time. And there are tales of settlers who moved out in the old pioneer days that literally went crazy from having to listen to the wind all of the time. And I'm starting to get to that point where if I'm downstairs, I'm usually fine because I don't hear it unless it's really, really horrible. But upstairs, you just hear the house creak and move, and it's not fun. And you try to go outside and everything blows away and you can't open your car door without, you know, the car being ripped from your hands and getting bent out of shape or something hitting something else because of the wind. And I'm so burned out on excessive wind in this area. I would be fine with like 2 weeks of gentle breeze, but I know that's not going to happen. So my number three, excessive wind.
Well, you
speaking
could.
Of excessive wind, Matthew, what's your number three?
Okay. That's just cruel. You know what? No, you don't get to do that. Much like your number five, my number three is a thing on the internets. And I have had, probably the last 15 years, I have had jobs that allow me to occasionally just kind of zone out and go to the internet. And for a long time, because of a firewall, I would just sit and sometimes browse Wikipedia when there were slow times. Just look stuff up. You know, you read about ridiculous conspiracy theories and dumb things and the history of wheat. But a few years ago, I was really happy to discover a website that talked and analyzed the things that I grew up enjoying. Talked about the pop culture and the comics and the weird stuff that we knew. And really talked about things that were more obscure than your normal, you know, Wikipedia. You could get in-depth takes on things and names of characters and stuff that you wouldn't necessarily get other places.
Oh, and it was really Hero Histories.
It was really great to hang out at tvtropes.com.
Oh, yeah, TV Tropes.
For a while. And then a couple, I would say probably 2 or 3 years ago, things started to shift for me because it really became a place that was too cautious and too codified and too, part of it was the fact that they had a couple of run-ins with Google and a lot of their material was suddenly flagged as you guys are, you know, having this material that's attracting these terrible people and saying terrible things, and maybe you need to clean up your act. And they're like, okay, fine, we'll actually monitor our stuff. And
is TV Tropes owned by Google?
I don't know, but Google handles the ads.
Oh, okay.
And that was, you know, the monetization piece of it. And it really came to a point where I don't like to go there anymore, because for every, you know, everything you can go through and look at a list of all the Woody Woodpecker cartoons and a brief analysis thereof, you have people trying too hard to force connections or to make things, or people who get so hooked up in looking at, is this or is this not a five-man band, that there really isn't any enjoyment of the things that we're discussing anymore. And it's come to a point where, rather than enjoy the things that the site I felt used to celebrate, it's really entirely focused on categorizing them. And if they don't fit in a category, people will force them into categories. They're like, well, this five-man band has four exceptions, but it's totally a five-man band. And I'm like, no, it's not. A single exception means it's not a five-man band, Bodhi. And you just get to a point where when someone says, someone is writing along and they're like, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and someone else comes in to correct them in the notes. So you'll see, well, what really happened was this. And then the next person is like, no, the first guy was right. And then you come to this point where somebody else is continuing off of something that someone else said. And it's
so
kind
of TV Tropes just a Reddit? Is it a forum? I don't understand TV Tropes. If you're supposed to go in there and give a definition on stuff, why there would be a threaded reply comment section?
It's not comments. It's actually the commentary or the discussion itself. So let's say you go in and you look at the page for, say, Critical Hit. It will list the tropes that apply to Critical Hit, and then people will say, and here's how this applies. For the longest time, it used to drive me nuts. There was a part in the Critical Hit wiki that said, for Action Girl, it said, there are three great action girls, and proceeded to give five examples of characters.
So,
and nobody ever bothered to edit that three into a five until I think Rodrigo did it himself. But it's become a point where it's more about the collecting aspect of it, the making sure everything is tagged and bagged and placed in an appropriate place. And it's taken a lot of the fun out of it to me.
Well, it sounds like it's not
try too hard.
It's not moderated, or they're not channel owners.
It's not effectively moderated. And the parts that are effectively moderated are actually effectively moderated in ways that kind of enhance the negativity that I dislike. So
Yeah. No, I can see
that. I'm
pretty
much done with TVTropes.com, sadly. Occasionally, I'll still go there for background information or research on a character, but it's just not the same. It's not what it was.
I rarely go there. I'll go there occasionally. If someone mentions something, I'll be like, okay, what is that? And I'll double check. I'm like, okay, fine. I get enough, but I don't spend my days, you know, traveling through it.
If you ever have spent your days doing it, there are some really pleasant moments in there. There are some places where you can sit and go, I remember that. You can go through and say, you know, here's the episode guide or the episode review breakdown of the original Scooby-Doo Where Are You series. And I'm like, what? Oh, okay. But, you know, those are seemingly fewer and further between for me these days. So.
Okay. My number two, also something that is online, YouTube. More specifically, what I call con artists on YouTube.
Ugh.
And what do I mean by con artists? So let me give you an example. So I do a lot of After Effects stuff, and I've taught After Effects for years, and I've written tutorials and books on Adobe After Effects. And so I'm quite up on tutorials and how to write good tutorials and how to give good examples of tutorials and just generally what makes a good tutorial. And occasionally I will go and find a really good tutorial from someone like Video Copilot and what they do. And it's great. And I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh, this is really good. I can pick up some tips myself. But if I'm going to take any information that I gather from Video Copilot, I'm going to rework it completely so that it's mine and originally mine, right? It still may have the base information, like 2 + 2 = 4, but I'm going to present it instead of, here's 2 apples, and you have 2 more apples, now you have 4 apples. I'm going to figure out some other way of presenting that idea in the same, you know, like, here's 2 Lego bricks, and you have 2 Lego bricks, now you have 4 Lego bricks. What I get tired of is there are these other quote-unquote, and I'll say quote-unquote popular YouTube channels that cover the, you know, After Effects tutorials. And these people literally rip off what someone else has previously done. Literally will take the exact same example, go through the exact same method to achieve the results, and then put it up with their own, you know, commentary and face. And I'm not saying just copying the YouTube video and putting it on their channel. I'm saying they go out and they'll shoot something that is nearly identical.
Mm-hmm.
They will go through the exact same steps as another channel and call it their own. And I despise that. And it's not just After Effects videos. Go and look at, and I'm not talking about memes or tropes or processes that are similar, like, oh, here's my reaction video of me watching a stupid trailer online and you get to see my face looking bored the entire time or screaming or being jerky or whatever. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, although that is... The copycat mentality is somewhat boring, but it's literally copying someone else's idea and passing it off as your own. And so you've got like A quality content, a B quality person copies that, then a C quality person copies that, and it just dilutes and ruins the entire process. And it's not just After Effects videos. I see it with photography. What's great is you'll watch someone like Peter McKinnon will do a tutorial on something or give his tips and techniques on how he does something. And literally within the next 2 weeks, everyone else who's in his sphere is doing a video about the exact same thing. And it drives me up the wall. And I'm done with that. When I start now, I've figured out a couple of channels that I repeat, have gone to repeatedly, and I see them doing the exact same thing. It's just like, okay, I'm turning you off and I am unsubscribing from your channel because all you are is a con artist trying to make people think you know what you're talking about when all you're doing is literally lifting someone else's script and putting your name on it. Yeah, you may be doing the work to record the video and go out and record an example, but literally it is the exact same process. And I'm so tired of that. I'm so burned out on con artists on YouTube. Matthew, what do you have for number two?
I never cared for YouTube. My number two is actually almost serious, and that scares me.
You're burned out on Yahoo Serious?
No, I never would burn out on Yahoo Serious. Yahoo Serious is wonderful. My number two actually is something that I got into after years and years of trying and failing. When I worked in local television for a very long time, I was like an assistant manager or a co-producer or a secondary level duder. And I always kind of wanted to get into the management. I wanted to be a supervisory person or a managerial type person. And once I moved to the city I currently live in, I ended up in a call center where I could do just that. And there are people who will poo-poo, people maybe even on this podcast, who will poo-poo the management experiences that I had. But I will tell you 3 things about working in the management where I did. 1, it was a crash course in how to actually handle groups and sometimes large groups of people. 2, I was very good at it. I know that. And I was actually quite proud of being good at it, especially in the situations that we were put. And 3, I have no desire to ever be in a managerial role again. I have no interest in being responsible for other people at that level. I mean, I have a 14-year-old daughter, and I think that I have had to do less oversight and, you know, parenting and micromanaging of the child for the last 14 years than I've had to do of people who used to work for me. And the thing about it that's really frustrating is that in my current position, I still have those skills and those reflexes and those tendencies. And I'm sometimes asked to train people to do what I do. And I remember the good parts of being that managerial person and being the one who is responsible for people. And then I also remember that, no, those parts don't outweigh the terrible parts at all, not even a little bit. And maybe it's the fact that I did 5 years of hard labor in a terrible, terrible company, doing terrible things to terrible people. I don't know. I think what it really comes down to, though, is I, for a very long time, I wanted those positions and I wanted
why
that
did you want those positions?
Job. Well, because
prestige,
I felt like I could do it
ego.
Better. I felt like I could do it better than the schmucks that I worked for, especially some of the schmucks that I worked for in, you know, television stations, to where you can, in fact, be a management level employee and also be a human being and be respectable and responsible and practical without having to be a complete monster like some of the jack wagons that I worked for. And I feel like I was successful in that. I still have people who will hit me on Facebook and say, hey, I'm applying for a new job. Would you give me a referral? You were the best manager I ever had, blah, 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 blah. And there is, you know, a little ego boost. There's a happiness to that. But it's also just that expectation and the realization that
you're burned out on the responsibility?
I'm just burned out on the concept, on being in charge of other people like that. I mean,
what about just being in charge of something?
I'm
in charge
of
being in charge of something. Like, for example, if you were put in charge of a project, would you be not interested in that?
No, I mean, it's not the same thing. I'm in charge of a number of things right now that are, you know, part and parcel of what I do. But
I'm talking about you had mentioned producer, and producer is a manager. Producer is a coordinator. Mm. And it sounds like you don't want that producer type role.
It would depend on the situation. It really does depend on what we're doing as well. I mean, but just stepping back into a role where here is a goal, here are 20 people, make sure that these 20 people are on task for that goal. I can do that, and I can do that well. And right now, I don't have any desire to do that. I don't feel like that's something where I'm like, boy, I really want to do that. That is, that's something that I'm not necessarily going out of my way to go, yeah, I sure do want to hook people together like sled dogs and have them pull us through the fields of yore and a boat or something. It's a metaphor. Very good metaphor. It's awesome. You'd love it. But yeah, just that in terms of like, I had actually applied for the job that my current manager has and did not get it. And I'm watching her do it. And I'm like, man, I'm so glad I didn't get your job.
Do you wonder why you didn't get that position?
No, I know why I didn't get that position.
Oh, okay.
I'm not asking for notes. I do not need career counseling.
Under I'm not
no
giving you career counseling. I'm just trying to figure out what about it. Burns you out. That's why I'm asking the questions.
Okay. It is, I think the biggest part of it is the fact that I didn't get to choose any of the goals, and I didn't necessarily have a whole lot of input on how we got there, but it was still my responsibility and my problem to make it work. So it's kind of like the Rudolph special where you have the train with the square wheels, and in certain situations, a train with square wheels is great. Or like, you know, the bird that couldn't fly or the Charlie in the box, you take them all together. You can do amazing things with a square wheel train and a Charlie in the box. But right now I just kind of don't think that that's something that I'm just dying to jump up and do.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's unfortunate because that a lot of companies and businesses, you as the manager of your area are given directions from an area higher up saying, these are the company goals. You as the manager of this area need to make that happen. And that seems to be everywhere I've been at seems to be 90%, 95% of the way business is done with few exceptions. That's why I said 90 to 95%.
first thing of management that I learned was never trust anybody who gives you any percentage above 90. But yeah, I mean, in my current job, I have responsibilities, but they are my responsibilities.
Right, right. Those are your individual responsibilities.
Right. They are not things where, with the exception of training the other operators, which now that I think about it, really is the same thing. Oh, now I'm depressed.
Well, I would say training is not a management thing. Training is training.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's just my opinion. You may see that as a different thing. But training is, you know, you're training. I'm training you how to do something. And then when you're done, you go off and do it. But I see where you're coming from. I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to get away from my last place and do Major Spoilers full time, because I was tired of somebody higher up telling someone else higher up, or or someone at the highest level telling someone below them this is the way things are going to be done, and then that person coming down and telling the next level of management the way things will need to be done. And then they come down to me and saying, well, this is the way it needs to be done. And I was just like, no, that's not how it works. If you were down at this level, we're going to do it this way. And you may not like it, but this is the best way to do it. And it took so much time to try to convince upper management that this was a better way to do things. Whereas everyone who was under me was just, you know, happy, because I was like, look, you guys do the things that you do best. And if you need help with something, you come to me, but you guys know what you're doing.
Right.
So go do it. And if there's ever a problem, then I will let you know that there's a problem. But the thing you don't have to worry about is upper management coming down and giving you grief, because my job as your manager is to be your shield and to keep you away from all of that poop.
And that is a lot of effort.
Oh, believe me, it totally is, especially with some of the people that I had to deal with on a daily basis. But you know, I think everyone in my department was not pleased when I left, because they knew that now they had to deal with, you know, upper management. A good thing is the person that replaced me, she's fantastic, and also really understood that role of, yes, people are going to tell you should tell other people what to do, but your job really is to protect them from the rest of the world and let them do what they do, which is what I do at Major Spoilers too. Because I don't, you know, Matthew just goes and does his thing until there's a problem. And then I say, you know, hey, we need to do this way. Let's steer you back this way a little bit. But at the same time, Matthew isn't dealing with a lot of the stuff that doesn't pertain to what he has to do, or doesn't have to deal with emails from people and that kind of stuff. So in that way, you know, this is still a management position, even though it's pretty much kind of, I don't want to say autocratic. That's not the right word. Autotomic, no, maybe.
That's exactly the right word. Autotomic.
No, it's autotomic.
Anatomic. Where you guys, it's anatomical.
Well, no, where people get to do basically what they want to do, and there's certain limits of that freedom. But, autotomic. Yeah, whatever. So your number two was management.
Oh, yes. Oh, so much.
Which brings us to our number ones. If you made it this far to our grousing and kvetching and all that stuff.
I'm sorry. Just hearing you say kvetching is quite funny.
My number one is something that is tied, as I mentioned, directly to my number four. And it is toxic fandom.
That's my number one.
Is it really?
No way. We have the same number one, you guys. This never happens. Yes,
rarely does it happen. And I don't know what it is. It is a small group of people. Being a fan is great, right? That's the only reason Major Spoilers started, is because I love comics, and Matthew loves comics, and we know that you love comics, and we do too. And we want to talk about comics, and we want to revel in what's good about comics. And we also want to discuss what's problematic about comics. And there are fans in every niche culture everywhere. There are fans of art. There are fans of Picasso. There are fans of football teams and other sporting teams and sports in general. And there are beer fans and there are movie fans. And there are fans of knitting and fans of printmaking and fans of photography and fans of you name it. There is a fandom for that thing. The problem is there's a small group of people that believe that their idea is the only good idea, or they've built it up in their minds that their idea of what something should be is the only way that thing should be. And the minute that that thing deviates from that, they just go all out. And it doesn't matter whether it's Harry Potter or Star Wars or Captain America or Superman or Batman or whoever it is. These toxic fans spend so much of their time harassing, terrorizing, I guess would be another word, creators and artists who are putting these things together that they claim they love, and chasing those people away and bringing those people down simply because something wasn't done the way they wanted it to be done. Yeah. Harry Potter. I mean, there is a group of fans out there that are arguing that Harry Potter and Hermione should have been married at the end of that Harry Potter series. I mean, toxically going after people saying, how dare you ever think that Hermione and Harry should have been with someone else?
Right.
You're wrong and you're evil and we're going to harass you every single day of our lives until that is done with. Or going after someone like Rian Johnson, who did the Last Jedi, and saying, oh, you ruined it. And then just, you know, hurling horrible hate and threats and stuff at this person simply because that movie wasn't a movie that they liked. Comics is the exact same way. And I got to tell you, I'm getting so burned out on the toxicity of comics fandom that every day I wake up and within probably the first half hour, I'm like, I got to deal with toxic fans again today. Now, I don't have to deal with them in the way that some creators have to deal with them, where they're getting constantly threatened.
Right.
But just seeing friends that I know and people that I like and people that I admire who are being harassed, who are being, you know, browbeaten, who are being, you know, trolled upon by toxic fans simply because the toxic fan is, well, I wanted this movie to turn out this way, or I wanted this story to turn out this way. And because it didn't, I'm going to make these people's lives terrible. I don't see how you can claim to be a fan of something if that is the way that you treat the thing that you claim that you love. And I know some people would say it's tough love or it's hard love and it's hate love or whatever. But I don't think that's how fandom works. You can not like something, but the cool thing about not liking something is you can go back to the things that you like. If you don't like Steve Rogers as a Hydra agent, go back and read Captain America from the 70s.
But that's the thing. I mean, people have been conditioned to believe that these things are for them, and in some cases, only for them. And
well, yes, there that, are and also they think that they are the end customer for that thing.
Yep.
And because they're that customer, they have control of that property, whatever it may be.
Yep. I'm not sure who said it, but there's something that I saw the other day on the Twitter, which you hate. The stages of toxic fandom, where you're like, I love this, I own this, I can't control this, I must destroy this.
Yes, yes,
and that's really what it comes down to, is you get so attached. And I think that there are people who, for good or ill, and I think we've both done it, and I think a lot of people listening have done it, sometimes you try and make your fandom or your love of something part of your identity. And, you know, that's natural, that's human, that's something that everybody
does. That's cool. No, that's what being a fan is, right?
You see the fans, the signs, Packers parking only or something stupid
right. Yeah.
But it also comes to a point where you can't literally do that. You can't make Rick and Morty or Steven Universe or even something, you know, completely all over the top psychotic. You can't make the X-Men your entire identity. And when people have tried to do that, and properties have changed, audiences have changed, you know, the nature of comics right now, I think, is that the audiences are changing. And the people who are part of the old audience are like, well, we don't like this new direction. And the creators and the companies are like, well, this, the new direction is the new direction. This is where we're going. And they're like, no, I will drag my feet because this is something that appealed to me and became part of me.
Yeah, not just drag their feet, but just try to drag the company, the creators, just drag them
to cause them harm and duress.
And yes,
I will destroy it.
Yes. And I'm not just talking about, you know, and I think there's probably some quote unquote subtweeting going on in all this conversation.
Oh, sure.
Some subtlety going on in what we're talking about. But I'll give you an example right from home. My Two Sons, not the Fred McMurray TV series. Sorry.
Yes, My Two Sons.
My Two Sons love Dragon Ball Z right now. They are both into it. They're both at that age where they can have conversations about it and they can watch it at the same time and both take different meanings from things. But today on the way home, the oldest, who is 10, the youngest is now 7. The oldest was asking him some question about Vegitos and mojitos or something.
Vegeta.
Hey, whatever, man.
He's the name of the Akita who jumped off of the...
Whatever. But here's the thing. When the youngest really couldn't come up with the right answer, the oldest said, that just proves you're not a real fan.
Oof.
And I had
to
say, listen.
Did you pull her over?
Oh, no. We waited till we got home because we were all pulling into the garage. But basically, I had to say, listen, what you just said is what's wrong about being a fan. If your brother likes this, that's great. He's a fan. He doesn't have to know every little minuscule part of this thing that you two are into to be a quote unquote real fan. If he likes it and he's into it, he's a fan. It's not required of him to be all knowledgeable, all knowing about this topic. And people who look at others and look down upon them because they're quote unquote not real fans are assholes. And you don't want to be an asshole. So you need to knock that off. If you like something, you like something. You don't have to know everything about it. In fact, if you like something enough, maybe you'll go and learn more about it. But that kind of an attitude drives people away from the things that they like because other people are telling them that they're not worth, that they're not, they don't have any worth unless they're at an expert level or that they are at the same level as you are perceiving yourself to be at. And that is why toxic fandom is something that I'm so burned out on that it makes me want to leave so many things that I enjoy doing because people are out there doing that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely agreed. And I think that the real frustration is that with some of these people, not all of them, certainly not some of the massive brigades of people, but some of these people, you actually feel like it's coming from an honest place. It's coming from a place where they're like, I don't understand, or I don't want this, or I don't like this, or the thing that is so important to me is changing, and I'm not changing.
Right.
And that, I mean, that I have empathy for, but also, that's kind of on you, dude, or dudette. Right.
I don't like change.
No, I don't like change. I hate change.
Yes, nobody likes change. And so you're right, Matthew, when they face that thing that they don't like in that change, they can go out and say, I don't like this. And here are the 10 reasons why I don't like this. Fill in the blank. But where it turns toxic and where it turns awful, and I don't have somebody who wants to make up a complete list of things or, well thought out arguments of why they don't like something. That's great. I want to have that civil discourse with that person.
Right.
But when they're like, here are 10 things that I hate. And it's your fault for making this happen and you should go kill yourself. And if you don't go kill yourself, then I will have my friends go kill you. That's just ridiculous. And that's stupid. And unfortunately, the most toxic of toxic fandom is out there condoning that stuff and condoning those actions and doing things to other people in that way to make them not have any worth. And I hate that. I really hate when someone else is being put down because they like something and they're told that, oh, you're not a true fan, or you should go kill yourself because you don't understand Rick and Morty the way I understand Rick and Morty. That's BS and that needs to stop.
Yeah. And the real frustration, the thing that comes down to is so many times you run into people who literally don't have anything other than this identity, whether it be gamer, whether it be comic fan, whether it be, football person, whatever it is that they're into, that's literally all that they see themselves as being. And it's sad, and you want to be sad, and you're like, man, somebody should help. But then also rabid douchery. And you cannot condone rabid douchery, even if you're like, well, but we want, you know, we want fandom to be better, and we want to help, and we want to all get along. We want to say, hey, we're all, you know, just one big happy family. We all love the Legion of Superheroes. But then there's also a point where you're like, no, seriously. You have to stop what you are doing. You cannot continue what you are doing. And, you know, I feel like it's hard for the creators. It's hard for the publishers. It's hard for the companies that are actually creating these things to control that. It may be impossible for them to control that.
Well, it is impossible, because otherwise you're talking about a thought state, right? Where certain groups can control thoughts. And I'm not saying that we should control thoughts, but I think people should look at their actions and think about, you know, if you want to have a thought in your head of, oh, this person should kill themselves, that's fine.
Right.
But if you're actively going out and telling this person they should kill themselves or do harm to themselves, or if you're suggesting to your followers that they should go out and harass and torment somebody else, that's not a good thought. And I wish there was a simple fix, but I don't think there is a fix. And there never will be a fix.
Somebody came at me the other day because I don't like the Nolan Batman films.
What's wrong with you, man? You're the worst.
People. Well, here's the thing. I am perfectly
See, that's an example
fine
of bad toxicity. I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was.
Actually, I don't like the third Batman Nolan film.
I don't like any of them. But that's the thing. That's entirely my thing. And he was like, oh, the fact you acted that you're a real fan. And I'm like, look, whatever you think a real fan is, I may not be, but there's no wrong way to be a fan. There's no right
there really
way
isn't.
To be a fan.
That's what I was trying to tell my son. If he likes it, he likes it. Hey,
exactly.
Mikey, he likes it.
I got 65 short boxes worth of comics that I have recently stacked to the ceiling to try and make the office actually livable and workable again. So, you know, if you're asking me what my qualifications are, first of all, I'm going to give you the finger, because you can't ask me for my CV when I'm walking into a comic shop. And if you really, really want to go head to head with me on this stupid stuff, I feel like there's a better way you could be spending your day. There shouldn't be all of this gatekeeping. There shouldn't be all of this. You have to leap over this bar to prove that you're a real fan.
Yes.
You know, we're at a point where two different actors playing the same character, not mentioning any names, Anakin Skywalker, they gave up acting careers because of the treatment that they got and the feedback that they got from fans of the movies in which they played this unnamed character whose name rhymes with Fennekin Skywalker. Two different actors.
Well, I don't
no
think Hayden Christensen. Hayden Christensen really didn't give up acting.
Oh, he did.
Because he went and he has done some other things, so much as he ended up getting married.
He was in that Jumper movie.
He was in Jumper, and that's a fantastic movie. That's a fantastic movie. But yeah, the youngest, what's his name? Jake Lloyd. He basically was run out. He was just like, hey, I wanted to go do something fun, and people just like crapped all over it, and I'm not interested in that anymore. So yeah, I feel bad for that kid. And it's because of toxic fans. I mean, the same thing has happened to, the woman who played Rose in the Last Jedi movie, where the fans just basically ran her off social media. And it's like, that's just not, well, you know, I guess they're fans. I mean, I don't know.
People who identify themselves as fans.
Yes. It doesn't matter whether it's a comics gate or a pizza gate or a gamer gate or whatever gate that people are putting onto it. If I hear gate at the end of something, usually there's some toxic fandom behind it. And I am so burned out on toxic fans. Every time they come up, I just want to preemptively mute them all. But at the same time, and this is where a lot of my frustration comes from, and a lot of my internal angst and turmoil is, I really want to understand the other side in a lot of things. And so I will go and look at YouTube channels that some of these people create, and I will follow some of these people online just so I have a sense of why they're doing that, or trying to get a sense for why they're doing the things that they do. And it is just hate, man. And hate brings you down. And, you know, hate leads to the dark side, right? I can't stand it.
I knew
it
you were going to go there. I knew it. And I just,
it just seemed right. It just seemed right. You know what else is right?
What's that?
Is having some of our favorite listeners, which is coincidentally you listening right now. You are our favorite listeners.
We love you, man. Or
we do. I really do. I mean, I really do love all of our fans, even the ones that get a little toxic at times. But here's what we need you to do. Head over to majorspoilers.com in the comment section for this episode. We want you to share the top five things you're burned out on, or maybe you have a comment about toxic fandom. Maybe you have an idea on how to change that. And I don't think ignoring them is the right way to do it, because when you ignore them, they just sit there and they steep and they get angrier and angrier until that kettle is ready to explode. And then they explode in horrible ways. So I don't think that's the answer. But if you want to comment on toxic fandom or con artists on YouTube or Excessive Wind or the Rolling Stones or whatever it may be.
Especially the Rolling Stones.
I would
so
love to
done
read,
with those guys.
I would love to read the top five things that you are burnt out on. I know other people would too. Why? Because everybody loves a list.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.